Fremantle squinted. After a moment, he nodded. Longstreet was not offended. Fremantle said wonderingly, "Sir, you cannot imagine the surprise. One hears all these stories of Indians and massacres and lean backwoodsmen with 10-foot rifles and rain dancers and whatnot, and yet here, your officers." He shook his head. "Extraordinary. Why, do you know your General Lee is even a member of the Church of England?" "True. He has great forebears."
"Yes," Longstreet said.
"I have noticed, sir, that you are always in camp near him." "I must say, sir, that I am touched."
"Well," Longstreet said.
"Ah," Fremantle sighed. "We have so many things in common, your country and mine. I earnestly hope we shall become allies. Yet I feel you do not need us. But I must say I am increasingly indebted to you for your hospitality."
"Our pleasure."
Fremantle cocked his head again. "One thing I'm very glad to see, your General Lee is a moralist, as are all true gentlemen, of course. But he respects minor vice, harmless vice, when he finds it in others. Now that's the mark of the true gentleman. That is what distinguishes the man so to me, aside from his military prowess, of course. The true gentleman has no vices, but he allows you your own."
"Ah,"
he patted a saddlebag, "by which I mean, sir, to get to the heart of the matter, that I have a flagon of brandy at your disposal, should the occasion arise?"
"It undoubtedly will," Longstreet bowed. "Thank you."
"You may call on me, sir."
Longstreet smiled.